The China Horse Club is a relatively new name in American horse racing, but it has wasted little time letting the world know that it intends on being nothing less than a major player on the U.S. racing scene. The Horse Club had a breakthrough when Abel Tasman, a horse it co-owned with Clearsky Farms, won the 2017 Kentucky Oaks and was named three-year-old filly champion. It looks like they were just warming up, as in Audible, Quip, and Justify. The China Horse Club has three serious contenders for this year's Kentucky Derby, along with the partners that also own those horses. Michael Wallace is a big part of the team, the group's head of Bloodstock and Racing. And he is this week's guest on the Thoroughbred Daily News podcast, brought to you by TaylorMade.
Why do TaylorMade horses sell for nearly double the market average? A history of success, honesty, and hard work. For over 40 years, buyers and sellers alike have trusted TaylorMade as the industry's top source for high-quality thoroughbreds and friendly service. While sellers get top dollar for their horses, buyers are rewarded for top results on the track. From sale toppers to Grade 1 winners to Breeders' Cup champions, think TaylorMade, the worldwide leader in thoroughbred sales and marketing.
Welcome back. This is Bill Finley, the host of the TDN podcast. And you better get used to seeing those China Horse Club red and yellow silks in the winner's circle, because they are everywhere and in virtually every major racing market across the globe. But nowhere is the China Horse Club hotter than in the U.S. And we welcome now Michael Wallace. And Michael, first of all, the obvious question, how excited is the team to have not just one contender for the Kentucky Derby, but three?
Immensely exciting. It's going to be a great few weeks, you know, as we lead into, you know, the Derby and what follows that. And, you know, it's going to be an exciting time to watch them run and see how it pans out.
Now, among the members, particularly those who live in China, how cognizant are they of what a special race the Kentucky Derby is and how difficult it is to even get one horse there? How much is the Kentucky Derby known in China?
Yeah, we put a big push to sort of promote the event last year and spend a lot of time and focus and marketing to make you know, our audience aware of that out there. So that garnered some traction. And obviously this year, you know, we've seen an increased presence and understanding from the people that have an involvement there.
And Michael, if you were lucky enough to get to the Derby with one, two, or even three of the horses, what kind of presence might there be among the members of the China Horse Club at Churchill Downs? Are you expecting a lot of people to come over and be there to root in person?
At this stage, we're looking to have sort of a group of about a dozen people coming, you know, which is a nice manageable size group. So we did the same last year for the Oaks Derby, and that worked really well. So we're going to replicate that again, and, you know, hopefully, you know, we're a few weeks out, but hopefully there's something in the gate, you know, come Derby Day.
And Justify, in the twinkling of an eye, has put two lengths on Calyx Man, followed by Shiver Me Timbers. Past the court of pole comes Justify. By three lengths, Calyx Man is second on the inside of Shiver Me Timbers. They swing for home, and it's Justify by four. Shiver Me Timbers second. Calyx Man on the inside is next. Justify, coming past the eighth pole, would have to race in outer space to feel less pressure. He's not yet battle-hardened, but just who is the most talented three-year-old to race this weekend? Justify, a colt of limitless potential, wins by six lengths.
Though he has yet to win a stakes race, Justify is getting more attention probably than even Audible and Quip. And he has looked nothing less than sensational. What are the limits to his potential?
Who knows at this stage? It's, you know, he's hugely exciting. You know, we're dealing with Bob, and, you know, we all know how great he is and the great horses that he's seen through his yard. And, you know, especially just in the last couple of years with a couple of great colts and Arrogate and American Pharaoh. And, you know, just the vibe and the discussions that we have with him, it's hugely exciting. And, you know, I think the world's his oyster, and, you know, time will tell just how good he is. But at this stage, he looks to have, you know, untold ability.
Now, Michael, he never raced as a two-year-old, and I'm sure you're aware there's this whole jinx, so to speak, of a horse that has not won the Derby without starting as a two-year-old since 1882, and he did not begin his career until February 18th. And normally, horses on that sort of schedule have shown that they don't have the experience and seasoning to win the Kentucky Derby. Is the feeling among the connections that this one is so special that he can overcome those obstacles?
I think the feeling is that, that we'll give him the opportunity to at least, you know, obviously his next race is reasonably critical. But there's no panic, you know, to get to the Derby, you know. If it's not to be, then, you know, they can still be good horses in the back end of the year. And if that's the case, well, you know, that's the case. If he's a good horse, he'll always be a good horse. And, you know, whatever happens after his next start, we'll do the best thing by him and go from there.
And talk about then Quip and Audible. Again, they have not necessarily shown the flashy brilliance that Justify has, but they're obviously two very good horses, particularly Audible, who looks so good winning the Holy Bull. And Quip, yes, he looked very good winning the Tampa Bay Derby. Kind of what is the feeling among the Horse Club about their potential and what they've shown on the racetrack so far?
No, I speak for Audible first, and you know, and often I think with any of these big races, you know, I think timing and you know, a sense of timing is really important, and sort of peaking through that preparation, and we're sort of sensing that with both Audible and Quip, that you know they just have a bit of a sense of timing about them. They've progressed well from two to their first step outs at three. You know, now they've got to you know handle one more step, but you know, mentally and physically and in their work and what we've seen on the track, you know, they're on that upward spiral. You know, they're going to have to take the next step and then the next step like all of them. But, you know, at this stage, you know, the factors and the barometers of the whole thing look great. So it's exciting times. Obviously, we'll see Audible there in you know, 10 days at Florida and see how he can go.
Okay. There's plenty more to come with Michael Wallace from the China Horse Club, but first this message from our friends at TaylorMade.
TaylorMade, where customer success is our primary focus.
Ladies and gentlemen, we present Harvard of Grace.
7-10, you want to get 10 million, Hunter, right here, we're going to get out of the mats away now, 10. 10-10, here we're going to get out of the mats, 10. Bruce, right here, $10 million even.
TaylorMade, where customer success is our primary focus. But don't take our word for it. Here's what some of our most satisfied customers have to say.
This is Brian Kahn, Los Angeles, California. I've been associated with, worked for, and been a client of TaylorMade and the TaylorMade family for close to 30 years now. Had great success with them. They've always been transparent and honest, and I always felt I was getting the right end of the deal with them. Highly recommend their services, from boarding, public sales, private sales. I've used all. All have been a success and a pleasure to deal with.
Here's longtime TaylorMade client Rick Porter of Fox Hill Farms, owner of numerous champions and Grade 1 winners, such as 2011 Horse of the Year, Havre de Grace.
I've been doing business with TaylorMade for over 20 years. Everyone knows they are the best sellers at auction, but they have also done great work for me in the private market. They have an unbelievable network that can help you buy or sell privately in a very professional and transparent way. I wish I had these guys working for me when I was in the car business.
Discover what TaylorMade can do for you. Visit TaylorMadeFarm.com.
Michael, China Horse Club first made a splash in Australia, more so than any place else. And why did your founder, Mr. Teo, decide to really start there in the Southern Hemisphere?
Basically, sort of, I guess, location and sort of time spent. So, you know, we started slowly in Australia and then quickly built it. The plan was, you know, always to sort of become a global operation for sure. But, you know, it was very difficult to sort of grow each region into, a larger scale operation all at one time, we felt. We sort of felt that we needed to just stagger that a fraction, and hence we focused on Australia to start with and got going there and, had some successes and some failures and try to learn off that before we sort of stepped into the next region, you know, which has been more America. So, you know, it's probably been a good process, and it's allowed us to sort of take our time and learn and get some processes in place. So, you know, America was the biggest open market, and we felt that we could come in and like Australia, participate pretty freely in that market and be welcomed, and you know, and play a part, you know, in the industry. So that was sort of how that progression came about.
So we didn't really see much presence or really any presence from the China Horse Club in the U.S. until late in 2016. And then you really got going just last year, especially with Abel Tasman. Why at that point in time was the decision made to come to the U.S.? Why was that the right time?
Well, I think we just got to the point in Australia where we'd reached a nice sort of scale of size, and we were happy with that. So, you know, we diverted some more attention to America, and, you know, obviously our oldest, you know, major racing crop is only four. So, you know, we've got two sort of full racing crops, you know, out there now, and, you know, it's been a wonderful couple of years, you know, not just with the horses we've talked about there, but, you know, you've got your sort of Good Samaritans and your American Anthems, Abel Tasmans and Yellow Agates, and these type of horses that, you know, that are really sort of, you know, helped us to sort of, I would say, become, you know, a participant in the US, you know, scene, you know, which has been really welcoming, and, you know, everybody's really enjoying it.
Abel Tasman on the far outside is 10th and winding up as they round the far turn. The half was 46-1. And here's Miss Sky Warrior. Miss Sky Warrior takes charge off the turn. Paradise Woods is under pressure but has lost the lead. Abel Tasman's roaring down the center of the track. Vexatious is also there. Lockdown's trying to find a seam toward the inside. 1 furlong to go. And Abel Tasman has gone from last to first in the yokes with 1 furlong left. Vexatious fights on. Lockdown coming up the rail. Daddy's Little Dark. Darling's got a shot, 100 yards to go. Abel Tasman in front, a final try from Daddy's Little Darling. Abel Tasman from last to first in the Oaks.
Well, you just heard the China Horse Club's biggest win to date, and that was Abel Tasman winning last year's Kentucky Oaks. And, Michael, beyond the obvious that you won a Grade 1 race and picked up a lot of purse money, what did that win mean for the China Horse Club? And I imagine the answer might involve things like credibility and legitimacy.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not lost on anybody how difficult it is to win, you know, a classic and, you know, such a prestigious race. You know, we were blessed to be able to do that with a wonderful filly and a wonderful team. So, you know, it sort of helped to, you know, engage, you know, us within the US industry. And, you know, then it also helped to engage, you know, the Chinese-based participants that are showing interest in horse racing, you know, into a race like that and understand what, you know, potentially can be done and the scale and size and, you know, the joy that it brings and, you know, the prestige of such a race.
We're into the middle of March and we haven't heard much about her this year so far as her racing schedule or training. So why don't you just bring us up to speed? What are you and the team and Bob Baffert have penciled in perhaps? Obviously, the Breeders' Cup distaff would be a long-term option, but what else and when might we see her in her first race?
No, she's ready to go any time soon. You know, we could potentially see her out, you know, as early as the Apple Blossom, you know, or maybe the Latrine on Oaks Day. Basically, my view is that, you know, she had a pretty arduous three-year-old campaign and she produced every time we asked her to, and she ran. You know, so we made a decision just to take our time with the view that, you know, we'd like to have a good four-year-old year. And obviously we're working backwards from Breeders' Cup. So, you know, we want to have plenty of petrol left in the tank come that day. You know, we won't overtax you through the year. And we'll pick and choose our spots, you know, and rely on Bob as we do to, you know, when he sees it, as he says, you know. So the races will be picked, you know, sort of one-to-one, really. We're not going to put anything too far ahead of ourselves in stone and just go from there. But she's working well. She's great. She's put on a huge amount of muscle and size and bulk, and she's sharper in her work. And, you know, touch wood, she's very sound of limb and mind. So, you know, all things, you know, are pointing that she could have a very good four-year-old season.
And now, the China Horse Club has become heavily involved with the Windstar Farm. They're a partner in all three of the Triple Crown Kentucky Derby-bound horses that we've already mentioned. So tell us, how did this connection with Windstar come about?
The connection came about through Tom Ryan of SF Bloodstock. And we'd done some work with SF Bloodstock and Newgate Farm and forming these colt syndicates down in Australia, which, you know, they've also been, you know, immensely successful down there. So when we decided that we wanted to come to America and we felt that, you know, participating in yearling colts was what we wanted to do. But everybody knows the risks associated with that. So it's nice if you could find, you know, some like-minded partners that, you know, can share that risk and allow you to buy a group of horses. Because, you know, we all know that there's, you know, your fair share of slow ones and problems, and you need a few soldiers to go to war. So it was brought about through Tom Ryan, and the introductions were made. And, you know, we were lucky enough to sort of have some discussions and put some plans in place. And out we stepped, you know, we have a four-year-old crop now. And obviously these group of horses heading towards the Derby at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Now, the connection between the two, Windstar and China Horse Club, we know about the racehorses. What else does it involve? For instance, is the China Horse Club invested in any of their stallions? Are you going in on broodmares with them for future breeding purposes, et cetera? So tell us what – there must be more to it than just the racehorse connection. Tell us what the rest of it is.
Yeah, we've entered into some of the stallions for sure. So you know, our first horse was Daredevil, and we followed that up with Exaggerator. And now we're following that up with Always Dreaming, who we'll see back on the track shortly. So, you know, we also have shares in some of their other stallions, you know, such as Pioneer of the Nile and some of the newer horses. So, you know, it's a far-reaching you know, partnership. And, you know, I guess it is like with a lot of our partners around the world, you know, we like to, you know, partner in horses that we think have talent. And, you know, if we can get an opportunity to put ourselves into those spots with good, like-minded partners, you know, be it Windstar or others, you know, that's what we like to do.
Mm-hmm. Now, we talked about how well you did in Australia and how well you're doing in the U.S. You have had runners and have had success in Europe, but that certainly seems to be number three on your priority list. So is that the next goal to conquer, and are we going to see an expansion of China Horse Club in Europe anytime soon?
We'll probably see an expansion, you know, more in a breeding role. Than a racing role. You know, obviously everybody knows the difficulties, you know, of economy and racing horses there. So it's not nearly as attractive as what Australia is or what the US is. So, you know, that has a bearing on it. You know, we still have a racing team there, and, you know, obviously, you know, we've shared in, you know, horses like Australia, who's won an Epsom Derby, which has been fantastic. And we currently have a very good filly over there called Gold Rush, a Frankel filly out of Alexandra Gold Run. She's unbeaten 3 from 3. You know, she has to be one of the more valuable horses training in Europe, fillies in training. So, you know, it's more of a boutique style racing operation over there. You know, but we've bought a few yearlings this year. So Nick Flanagan, our European representative, is overseeing that, and the progression of these looks good. So, you know, I'm sure there's, you know, we'll be seeing some racing stock come out to the fore in Europe in coming months.
Mm-hmm. And Michael, as we've mentioned, China Horse Club is so new to the business. Your first crop of horses racing in the U.S., have you said, are only 4 years old. So are there bigger goals beyond what we've seen already? Is there sort of a master plan of where China Horse Club would like to be, say, 10 years from now? And if so, what might that be?
You know, there's a sort of desire to become, you know, bigger than sort of what we are in the US at the moment. We still have a relatively small breeding operation, and we'll grow that, you know, in a steady way. The racing stock at the moment, the colt syndicates and the numbers sort of yearlings bought each year, I think is, you know, it is a sensible, manageable number, and it's a model that we've used in two sort of geographic locations, which sort of has shown to work now. So I think we're happy to stick around that level. Potentially one area, you know, where we may see, you know, a little rise is perhaps trying to acquire some fillies to race in the jurisdiction, and that will eventually join the broodmare band in time. We don't have too many of them, so that's probably one area where we may look to just increase that a fraction.
There's much more to come with Michael Wallace from the China Horse Club. But first, this word from our good friends, our sponsors at TaylorMade.
And here it is. The 37-year wait is over. American Pharoah is finally the one. American Pharoah has won the Triple Crown.
Over the past four decades, TaylorMade has risen from a small boarding operation to the worldwide leader in thoroughbred sales and marketing. Here's Hall of Fame trainer Jerry Hollendorfer.
TaylorMade sales follow many horses that are training at the racetrack, and they are particularly adept at evaluating mares and placing them with a proper stallion after their racing careers are over. They are very straightforward and are also experts on confirmation of younger weanlings and yearlings.
My name is Tia Andrini, and I am from San Mateo, California. I've been doing business with TaylorMade for about a year now, and it's been one great experience after another. It started with my first TaylorMade venture when I bought an interest in the filly Catherine Sophia, which ultimately landed me 3 weeks later in the middle of the winner's circle of the 2016 Kentucky Oaks with her. The TaylorMade team is a group of truly outstanding individuals. They are knowledgeable, professional, and completely customer service driven. To me, the TaylorMade name epitomizes the term trusted advisor. That is exactly what they are, and I am very proud to be associated and doing business with them.
Discover what TaylorMade can do for you. Visit TaylorMadeFarm.com.
Michael, shifting gears now, and I know this isn't exactly your field of expertise within the China Horse Club business, but the racing industry in China is fascinating to me. And if things break in a certain direction, horse racing could certainly become a huge industry over there in China. And just generally, what is the state of racing in China now as we speak?
It's progressive, that's for sure. We've gone from, there being sort of no participation, and, in my sort of 4 and a bit years now with China, we've seen some great steps, and, there's, a lot of tracks there that are operating now and conducting races. Obviously everybody knows, in the current status, there's no gambling on horse racing allowed at present. But there's still a lot of people investing heavily and conducting race meetings and having racing strings, using the local people and then also sourcing some sort of staff from and expertise from Western countries as well to help grow that. So it's in a state where they're building towards the potential of trying to promote racing, as a sport and, something that can create jobs and opportunity and a whole stream of sort of revenues for various different participants, along the way. So it's an encouraging space, how long or soon or if it happens, that's a question obviously nobody can answer, but it is trending the right way, which is always positive. And while something's trending the right way, you sort of have to keep a positive frame of mind with it.
Now, there would be one scenario if gambling was legalized over there. You could literally see China having the greatest racing industry in the world. I mean, I don't think that's hyperbole with the size of that country. What do you hear about that aspect of it, if not tomorrow or the next day or maybe even not within the next 2 or 3 years? Is there any movement towards legalizing gambling over there?
No, I'd say there definitely has been some movement and some discussion on it for sure. Obviously that's the government's sole choice, and they have to see the social and economic benefits to that. So China is obviously a country with great scale, and anything that is implemented in China, it's all based around scale. So there's vast potential, but things have to be done slowly and things have to be done correctly. you know, when you're dealing with social issues such as gambling. So, you know, that's highly important, and everybody should, you know, understand, and everybody respects that. So it's heading the right way, I think. So, which is great. And you know, if we can take, you know, step one, two or three towards that, it has, you know, it has, you know, a far reaching effect on a number of people in the industry worldwide.
Mm-hmm. Michael, let's head back to the U.S., and you were just in the last couple of days of the Ocala sale, and I see that you, along with Winstar, bought a colt by strong mandate for $450,000. Just tell us about him and what you liked about him.
Yeah, lovely sort of big, upstanding sort of horse that, you know, Dave Hanley from Winstar sort of spotted at the breeze up, and, you know, we sort of had a good look through them with, you know, the team from Winstar and SF Bloodstock, and you know, he was a horse that just sort of, you know, met all the criteria that we need, and, you know, a lovely big sort of scopey style of horse, you know, good frame, and, you know, he moves well, and he's basically what we're after, looking for a nice two-turn horse heading into next year. So, you know, it was a bit of money, obviously, but, you know, we don't buy a lot at the two-year-old sales. We sort of try and focus on the ones that we really feel strongly about, and very small sort of boutique numbers. And you know, he was the horse of the sale for us.
You said you don't concentrate much on the two-year-old sales, so that means you're going to obviously have a big focus, I would imagine, on the yearling sales. Now, they're still quite a bit of ways away, but where do you plan to shop? What kind of budget do you have? What kind of numbers would you be looking for? What are all the thoroughbred publications going to be writing about come Keeneland, September, and Fasig, Tipton, Saratoga, et cetera, when it comes to the China Horse Club?
You know, we're in discussions about that, and that's always a moving model. But the old adage is, you know, you sort of stick to your knitting, and we sort of feel that if we can shop in a specific sort of region and price range, it gives you opportunity, and without, you know, putting your neck on the chopping block every time, you know, in such a large scale. So, you know, there's a lovely bunch of horses always through that mid price range. You know, historically, that's where the winners are coming from, and it's been a sort of bracket that sort of worked well for us. So, you know, obviously, it's an exciting time with these horses running, and you know, we'll be excited to see what they can do between now and September. You know, when we sort of start hitting August, when we start hitting to Saratoga and Keeneland, and seeing what we can find. But, you know, we'll be definitely being in the market for sure. You know, it's a place we believe in, and a place we feel we can participate in the industry, and are happy to do so.
Now, Michael, not only do you fly all over the world on behalf of the China Horse Club, you also run your own bloodstock company in New Zealand, Waterford Bloodstock. And I just imagine there's so much on your plate. You know, we make the joke, how many frequent flyer miles do you have? But how do you manage all that?
You know, it's just preparation and having good people around you. You know, like obviously Mick Flanagan has come on board and sort of helping us very heavily in Europe and other regions. And, you know, guys that are as smart as that are very hard to come by. So, you know, we have a good, you know, we have a very good boss, you know, who allows us, you know, freedom to do our job. We have a good support structure around us of assistants and people to do the accounts. And, you know, and then our service providers, we generally just try and place our horses with the best service providers we can. And the people that care for your horses like they're their own. And if you can put yourselves into those positions, then, you know, the day-to-day management, you know, comes under their responsibility. And if you've got the best people, you're getting the best care.
Very good. Well, Michael, thanks so much for all your time. It's a fascinating time for the China Horse Club on the road to the Kentucky Derby. We wish all your horses, particularly the potential Derby horses, well. Thanks again for your time. Thank you to TaylorMade for sponsoring this podcast and making it possible. Michael, good luck to the China Horse Club.
Much appreciated. Thank you.
Thank you.